Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. I'm going to read one verse, and then I want you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which cometh into the world, enlightens every man. We have been looking at the scriptures, under the title Preaching Christ, at the I Ams of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to another I Am this morning, and that is, I am the light of the world. As we see it put to us in John chapter 8, Jesus Christ says again that I am the light of the world. The present I Am focuses upon Jesus' function as Savior of mankind. The world exists in spiritual darkness, which seems to get worse and worse with each generation as it passes. Men without God in the past, living as brute beasts almost, in groups that which killed and destroy one another. They would take on other little family groups and just go through and find themselves just taking what they had and to become the power over them. When man became more civilized, he still destroyed others for treasure or for power. Even today, men long to have power, and they do whatever they can in order to get that power, no matter who they hurt on the way. Today, the darkness has penetrated all aspects of society. We find the darkness of man is in the families. We find families are so riddled with sin and darkness by someone in the midst of the family, some family member. The neighborhoods today are so filled with the darkness. You look down the streets and you see those who are actually, in some way or another, will find themselves perpetrating sin upon neighbors. Society itself, as you go out, broaden the scope, you find that what they do whatever they can, and they don't care about one another. The darkness has even reached governments. Governments themselves find that they are doing and living from the same darkness as anyone else. Truly today, man is calling evil good and good evil. Sin has now begun or is being made acceptable in society or in governments by the laws and the legislation that they pass. There's no more concern of seeing what is right by God. They do whatever they want to do. There is no government on the face of the earth that is not out of that plague by sin and darkness and causing them to live in such a way. Only spiritual light can change the present situation or the plague of darkness that has fallen upon man. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He's indicating that no one will receive light unless they receive it from him. In our text that we have in John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus Christ makes it plain as he states what the light of the world as he is and what it means to people. Notice what he says again in verse 12 of John chapter 8. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It is clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned with the darkness. He uses light and he comes and there's darkness there. The statement of self is what Jesus is saying. I have two simple points this morning, and that is the statement of his person and the promise that he makes, the second point. He says, I am the light of the world. The first thing we must look at and begin to understand, what does Jesus mean when he says light? Now, the word itself, or you know for yourself, even in English, a word light have a different applications of it. We can find that the word light, it speaks of the natural light, which we have as the sun. We have all around us. God, when he created the world, he said, let there be light. And so, therefore, we have that natural light. The word is used also, it speaks of knowledge or intellect. If somebody has light, they have understanding of some things. And so, therefore, it's used that way. And it's also speak of truth and righteousness, spiritual light. The light in understanding who God is and what he's done and how we must live to him. And I believe what Jesus is speaking of in this case, he's not speaking of natural light. He's not speaking of intellectual knowledge and light. He's speaking of spiritual light. And I took you over to John chapter 1 because I wanted to see if Jesus is saying this here, and he says it in the other places in the scriptures, and other writers says it of him, what is he really implying? And I take you back now, turn with me to John chapter 1. It's a quickly move through that to sort of build a foundation. Now, John is here concerned about telling the world, those who are right, who Jesus actually is. And as we've been looking at the I Ams and even some other names of Jesus, we find that there is not one name that can actually capture all there is in Jesus Christ. John does something here, and he pulls it out for us and shows us who he is as the one creator and the one who would come into the world. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he lets us know right there who he is. He is God himself, and he was with God in the beginning. He is the Word. And as we look at that, we can see the very Word itself as you go back into Genesis chapter 1. God created through the Word. He commanded, and it was there. John Calvin looked at this, and he takes the word Word, and he replaces the word speech. It is speech. It's the active speech of God that created. And so we have here what he's saying, it is the Word, Jesus Christ himself, who is the creator. And it goes on, it says, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Not just the fact of speaking, but through him, who he is as his person, it came into being. And apart from him, nothing came into being that was come into being. And then he goes on in verse 4, and John says, in him was life. And the life was the light of man. Now, there are those who look at this and say basically what John is saying here. He gives us one aspect to show us that Jesus Christ, as he brought those into being, he had life in him. He put life into mankind. Let us make man in our likeness and in our image. And therefore, Jesus himself puts that life into him. But he says that life also was the light of men. Now, in these first 9 verses, we find that the commentators go back and forth on what to really understand of this, really what is being said concerning Jesus as the light. And some, they move to all he has here, what he's speaking of here, is intellectual light. And that's true. And most of them who don't see this as the main portion here, they say that part is true. If he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, what man is made in the likeness of God in Christ is where he has understanding. No other being, if we can call it, as we look at the animals and everything, has made with that image and that likeness of Christ where he has this light of God in him and he has intellect in him, which is the likeness of God himself. Man is a moral being. He knows and understand, and he knows and understand who God is. He knows God. There are those who like to take to themselves that they believe they don't know God, they don't have anything to do with God, but they're trying in their best, as Paul states, trying to drown out the reality that God is real. They do all they can to avoid that. And so some of the commentators said, really, the idea that man knows that God exists, truly it could point here as the light of men. No matter where you go, what people group you come into contact with, you find that there is religion there. And those, they have some aspect of God. And so commentators say, well, maybe this is what John is referring to. Now, I believe that John may be referring to that there, but I think he's referring to more than that. He's not stopping at the point where he's just saying that man is made in the image and likeness of God, and so therefore man has this light and a light and a knowledge of God. I think John here is pointing to something further, and we see it as he goes on. In verse 5, he said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or did not overpower it, some look at it and say, or even did not appropriate it, some of us say. Did not take hold of the light to themselves. But what we find, and when he says this here, we believe what John says and what he wants us to know, it comes to us in verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. I believe what we have here, John is saying as he writes this, there's a creator God. Christ is the creator. He's there and who he is. But he moves quickly to, I believe, spiritual light that is needed by the world. Since man fell and he's in darkness from the end of garden, he's been in darkness all along. John wants to not only make it known to us that Christ is the creator, but Christ is the only light, only spiritual light to mankind. And he says John was sent by God, but he was not that light. He came to testify about the light. John, to me, he's moving into the fact that there's a spiritual darkness and we need that light which comes from Christ. But he goes on and says that. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which in coming into the world enlightens every man. Now, here's another one. They mull over this. What is John saying in this? Does every man really is enlightened? Some even believe that, hey, every man will be enlightened to salvation by grace because he has that in him. In other words, he can choose Christ when he gets ready to. And some says, no, that can't be the case. But he says that there are some who are enlightened, they have some understanding of God and who he is, but they don't come to true grace. And then there's a construction of the Greek here that some want to turn around, and they say there was a true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. But they say it could be, as you look at this, every man coming into the world. But the more responsible commentators say this is not saying that everyone is going to have the light in a saving fashion. But basically he's saying that everyone will receive some light of the truth of God, but everyone does not come to following that light. There are those of you who are right here in this building right now, you've heard about Christ Jesus. You've heard it, and you have in some form and say, you do, I believe that. You've heard it from a babe in your mother's womb as far as you came out, and then she's rocking you, and you've heard about Jesus Christ. You heard about that light, and you have even and sometimes said, you know, I believe that's true. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and the only way we're going to be saved, we have to believe in Christ. I believe that I'm a sinner, but I must run to Christ. But yet you haven't run yet. So you've received some truth of the light, but you have not yet brought it where you are now those who are saved. And so they say from this point, this is what you're saying. Now, I lay that down for you, not to bring something from this particular passage, but to lay a foundation. Because when we come to Jesus Christ saying he is the light of the world, we don't want to, as it were, jump into the middle of the aspect to go back in the beginning. But John says here, he was the light that came in, and he is the light that lighteth every man. Spiritually, John is saying no one is going to be able to walk with the truth now that's given to us by God unless the light itself is what comes to them. And so therefore, again, back in John chapter 8, What we can see now, Jesus can say now, as you see that foundation, the light came. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light to Christians. I am the light of the world. I come now, and here I have come. So as you see that, Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. Here he is really speaking of the fact that he is that spiritual or ethical light, which is synonymous with goodness and truth and righteousness. That's who I am. I am here. And I come to bring that to you. Jesus was the light of the world. He is the creator, the source of light as we see. In a natural sense, he has provided some light, but he's bringing now more to you and I than we need in this passage. Jesus is saying the subject here is spiritual light. He says there is a new creation which is needed at this point in time. Have you ever noticed when Jesus, when he takes that, or did your mind pass through it as we looked at John chapter 1? In the beginning. What do we have when we go to Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, there was darkness on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. New creation. Jesus says, in a sense, we say, I'm going to be the one who say to your soul, let there be light. He's the one coming, and he will do it. Jesus Christ is the subject here. He is the spiritual light. He's not saying, in a sense, that I am a light among lights. I am the light. I am the only light. I am the light of the world. The context of the statement makes it clear that here there is no other but him. And it's the spiritual light. He brings it. He's the only one that brings it. And in our verse in chapter 8 and 12, he actually comes and he puts light and darkness against each other. Light destroys spiritual darkness. Darkness is used spiritually as a synonymous with evil and falsehood. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and then he says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. He's saying there is a clear change that is going to come and take place. See, this idea of Jesus being the light is something that comes from God himself. I want you to go with a few passages with me. What is the promise of Messiah or the Savior? What is he going to come to do? Well, we know he's going to come to save. But how and in what category is that salvation put under? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 9. And notice how the prophet mentions and he brings in, and then you know it for yourself, but just to bring it to mind and have it before us. Isaiah chapter 9, look at verses 1 to 2. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In the early times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who lived in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You see, he's saying now this is what's going to come. Isaiah 49, just to show you a few verses, how this actually comes. God himself has indicated what is going to be a difference in a particular time. Verse 5, and now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, meaning his Messiah, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And he goes on in 61, you find that 60 rather, you find him saying basically the same thing again in a short form, just one verse. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In the book of Luke, when Simeon is told and he has a chance to see Mary and he sees the baby there, he says he can leave now. And he mentions the fact that he has seen God's light, which was going to come to those who sit in darkness. The Messiah himself was promised to be one who would actually come and dispel the darkness and bring in light. He is the promised one that is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is this. Jesus saying that he is the only source of spiritual light. The only source of true biblical understanding, truth, righteousness, and goodness. It only will come from Christ. Light used this way points to the nature and holiness of God. This is the light that they will get. And Jesus is the only one able to lead anyone to God. God promised, as I indicated, that the darkness of sin would one day be shattered on the face of the earth. He didn't promise that to every single being, but he said that that will come. The light will come. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The light exists only in him, not in others. Many of the commentators looked at this. There are many preachers out there. There are many so-called religions out there, but no light is in them. The light comes to Christ and Christ alone. In Christ Jesus, the glory of God shines forth. He is, as the scriptures teach us, he is the image of God. He is the radiance in his glory and the exact representation of his person. He is the only source of spiritual illumination. And Jesus could say, I am the light of the world. Not a light, but I am the light of the world. Another phrase or word we have to look at here, as we see over in John chapter 8, is that what is Jesus saying? And they understood by the word world. I am the light of the world. Now, a lot of times people look at the word world, and they see it in the particular places, and they believe that that means that since he come for the world, that means he's going to save everybody in the world. But though it's not here saying that it's what he's going to save as far as a portion, but he says what the effect is. And that is the world. It's going to be an effect upon the world. But as he looks at this world, what is he actually saying here? Well, he's saying here that world, that is the world that fell into sin, the world that we find through the people in the Old Testament, in Genesis, in the garden, through Adam and Eve, man fell into sin. From those two, man has come all the way out to what we have right now. Each one of you, we can say we go back. Now, you know, they do all the stuff. You can look back and you can find out, you know, with a sin and a little DNA someplace. You can find out if you're part of European, a part of Africa, so and so. But you know what? You don't have to worry about finding out part if you go back to Adam and Eve. You do. You go all the way back. And it's not because your DNA will trace you back there, but your sin will trace you back there. You got that from Adam and Eve. You're right now the same. You are those who are in the line of Adam and Eve. And you're in darkness also because of the sin. And so therefore, when you look at the world itself, you're saying that this is one mankind. Though gathered into different groups and nations, not too many different races, only one race, that's the human race, but many different nationalities. But they all go back up to the same head. And so what here when Jesus says the world, he's talking about the fallen mankind, the situation, the desperate situation that we are in. Man is lost and dead in sin. All mankind is lost. Darkness is upon the whole earth. Spiritual death is there. We are held in the vice grip of sin. Man is unable to free himself from the ignorance of sin that he's had. People today believe they can. People think that what you can do is if you change a little bit, you do a little bit of things here, maybe philosophy will make people act a little bit better. We give them some kind of benefits, they will be better. And in fact, man only takes himself deeper and deeper into darkness. Because what he does in that road he's gone down, he is taking people further and further away from the truth. If I could give you an example, if there's some kind of disease you have, and you basically, you look at yourself and you say, well, I'm going to take care of this thing by going into some weeds I see. I'm going to eat those or I'm going to brew those and that's going to make me feel better. And then you might to talk to some soothsayer or something and he can say, you know what, try this and try that, you know. Yeah. And you, at the same time, you feel yourself getting worse and worse. You're getting sicker and sicker. That's what happens with sin. Man thinks he got his answers. Man thinks that he can give you what is necessary. And as he gives you to this, you do this, and basically what you're going to find, that you're going to get better. But you only get worse and worse. So man, though, he thinks that as he looks at sin in the world, and basically if we can just call it by another name, which would take away that sting of it and make you think that there's some problems in society that can be worked out by just sitting down and talking to someone, giving them a better way of thinking, giving them a better idea or a different idea of life. And even if they take this and believe this whole area of thought right here, they'll be a better person. But no, they find out they're getting worse and worse. And as I mentioned, what do you do with a sinner who's so bad off and that he's sinning against society? And basically a society in all the days is he coming all the way up and it's horrible. It is a horrible sin. So if he can try to bring to the people's mind some different way of thinking about that thing, that's not sin. That's just a slip. Yeah, you made a mistake. And then from that, as I indicated, they go and say, you know, society try to make you beneath them. Because they say you're wrong in what you're doing. We're going to pass a law to let you know you are right in what you're doing. And they're wrong. That doesn't help them. Is there some of the people who have been called and told things like this, but this whole sex thing that's going on, there's 93 or 90-some percent more sin, more suicides in that group of people than any other group. Now, you tell me it hasn't gotten worse for them. You see, this all man can do. He has no light to give you. Man cannot do anything as far as taking a person and bringing them from that situation of their sin. The word world means all mankind, all aspects of mankind. You hear in the scriptures a lot, Gentile and Jew, or Jew and Gentiles. Gentiles is everybody else. No, a nationality is out of it. When we read back at Messiah, where he's come, where he's going to go, there's going to be a light to the Gentiles. That light is needed because they too are just as darkened as even the Jews were. We read in the scripture this morning, that's the same thing. Who are you, old man, when you tell somebody they should not commit adultery? Do you commit adultery? And I believe in the mind of the Apostle Paul, the answer to that was, yes, you do. You try to tell somebody to live this way, but you're living just like them. And you see that light had come, and the light is the only thing going to change it. You see, all segments of society, Jew and Gentile, male and female, boy and girl, rich and poor, healthy and sick, doesn't matter. That's what makes up the world. All mankind, each and every one of us, everyone on the earth is in the same condition. The only remedy is spiritual light, which comes through Christ and his gospel. That's the only thing. So I am the light of the world, he says. Now we have to see and understand where the world is and where basically they need that light. Many people say today, I'm all right. There's nothing wrong with me. So what? I do this, I do that. You may call it bad, but I have the concept what is good for me is good to me. See, it doesn't matter. You live the way you want to live, I live the way I want to live. And one of the things that seem to be beyond my thought, but when you dig deeply in it, you can understand. As a matter of fact, this verse tells you. I say, if you're going to be a religious person, not that you are a Christian, but if you want to be a religious person, doesn't your religion teach you how to live a good life? Good in the sense of doing right, being right with people? Most of the religions, they don't even have that. It's still what's good for me. Learned from one of the, we had a missionary in back in Pakistan. Learned from him before he went over there. Within that religion, it's all right to lie and do a lot of things if you're doing it for the purpose of Allah. What kind of God is that? But that's what goes on and on. People begin to say that I can do this in the name of religion. It's right. Doesn't matter. But Jesus said, no, you're still caught in darkness. And so he says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is stating clearly here, and I want to state it clearly for every one of you here who know not Christ. There is no salvation any other way but in Christ. There is no coming to God and to know the true living God that we have in the Bible unless it's through Christ. You can pile up your own religion however you want to. You could take religion and you can mesh it with philosophy or anything. You still won't have light. You're going to be a lost person, lost worse than you were in the beginning. Like you went out into the yard and you said, dandelion's going to heal my problem, my physical problem. You're going to take it and cook it in some water, make some tea out of it, and think you're going to get better. People think they're going to get better by all the things that they think that man has brought along the way. Oh, well, I'll try this religion or that way. Even philosophy. Or I'll sit down and hum for about an hour and I'm going to come out different. No way. I am the light of the world. Only way darkness can be penetrated is by the light. And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But then he gives us promises in verse 12 or 8 of John chapter 8. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says two things here. He says, first of all, he gives us what I'm calling a promise. The promise is connected with a charge or a change, if we want to say it. He who follows me. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is making it simple, and he's showing it that those that he spoke to during that day, and also he's talked to each and every one of us, that this light comes, and the proof of the light is coming, that there is a change. There's a change in the person. Who do people follow right now? In most cases, they follow themselves, don't they? I want what I want, is what they say. And if this group over here is saying something that pleases me, the only reason why I become a part of it, they say, is because it's given me, or at least making the advance to give me the things that I want. And so that's their whole life. Live for me. So now we find when Jesus says, now this light, he is the light of the world, and he who follows me, he who now looks at me, following me, the change here that I'm indicating, which brings on the promise, it is fellowship with Christ Jesus. Jesus does not say how the change occurs. This is not one text that we look to and say we know how man gets saved by looking at this. He's just stating the fact. The fact is, if you change, if you follow me, to follow Christ means to trust him. Can you see the picture, dear people? You young people, can you see the picture? I had a dog, and sometimes we talk about him in the house, is that dog will follow me everywhere around the house. If I'm sitting down watching TV, he could sit close to me or he sit further away, but he's sitting there. And it seems like if I get up, I don't care if he's in the kitchen or the living room where I am, he heads up, and if I walk upstairs, he come right with me. If I walk up there, he come right with me. He's following. And so Jesus is saying here, this is what you have. You have to follow him. But you see, that dog follows me because of the connection and the trust he has in me. He obeys me. He believed that I would do nothing as of harm to him. That's hard to think of that through a dog. And I know that's bringing the analogy way down. But you see the picture. Jesus says, follow him. Do you trust? Will you trust him? To trust Jesus, to put everything that you are and lay it all at the feet of Jesus and say, he will do that which is right for you. To obey him is to hear what he says in his word. And to keep that word, in that word as he brings it to you, whatever it may say, thou must or thou should and thou should not, you don't care. You're not going to mull over it and see if it fits the current idea of the day. What I want to be, what I want to do, how I want to live. No, he says, do it, and I do it. It's to believe in him. He says, I am the light of the world. It's to believe that he truly is the light of the world. He's truly the only way in order for you to have what is that truth from God. It's come to the place of knowing and understanding all God says in his word. Jesus now brings it to me. He has laid out what God has said. This is strange to me sometimes. You hear people, they call themselves Christians. They read the scriptures. And God says, or Christ says something clear in one place. But then when you get into the epistles, he says it through his apostles. And these who believe in Christ, they're supposedly, they're saying, now, I don't believe that's what he's saying. But they don't realize what they're saying. They said, I don't believe that's what he's saying. Now, I don't believe it's wrong to say I believe, but in this sense, it's clear, it's true. And he may say a direct command. But they're saying, I don't believe that. You see, the real believing in Christ is to keep his commandments. And Jesus says, if you love him, you will keep his commandments. All these indicate a relationship with him as the result of salvation. To be born again. So here he said, now those who follow me, in other words, those who've now been brought out of light by way of salvation, out of darkness rather, and into light, they are the ones who will follow him. But Jesus says, in my present situation, in who I am as the light of the world, we know the only way you can come to there is he has to give you light. But then he says, and here is the promise, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says, first of all, they will not walk in darkness. And you know, brethren, when we look at that, we say, here is a world that we live in. And what does the world have on us on every side? We are trying our best to keep out of darkness. Sometimes there are those who come into a political arena and they want us to vote on things which is nothing but darkness. They want us to live according to their own dark minds to do that. And we're trying our best to keep away from it. But he says, here, Jesus says, if you follow me, those who follow me will not walk in darkness. If we bring it closer to ourselves and not deal with the outside world, what he's saying here is that as we look at everything that God says in the scripture, we will find ourselves keeping away from darkness, meaning we'll keep away from sin. Now, if you look at darkness, is not having the truth and understanding what Christ says. That's darkness. What does he mean here? What does he mean for me here? Where is the spiritual light? Where is the understanding? Where is it? He says he is the only one can give it. And brethren, though you may be saved, you still need light from Christ. You need it. We grow. Our lives are being changed more and more. We are actually cutting off. We are putting the old man aside, and the new man is growing more and more. And if we're not doing it, if that's not happening, we are stagnant. In some places, the scriptures tell you we better check and see if we really are following the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what will happen. We will not walk in darkness. We will not be confused with darkness of sin and also with the ignorance of the world. We will be able to make the decisions that need to be made because Christ has given us the light necessary to make those decisions. And he goes, and I go on. But we'll have light of life. He says, here's what's going to happen. You walk this way because I am the light of the world. I'm the one guiding you. I am the one that is the light of man. I come into the world and I will be guiding you. Jesus will be the light guiding your life and my life. He will give understanding and wisdom for life. You got a question, you wonder what to do about it. How to take this, what to do at this particular point. What do? You pray, don't you? You plead for guidance, don't you? And Jesus says, this is the thing. But we'll have the light of life. That light will be guiding us. It will be the thing helping us through. He will give light through His Word and by His Holy Spirit. Why are we gathered this way? Well, the Lord has made it so this is the way, and light going to be imparted to each and every one of us through the preached Word, through those who He give to us as elders in order to guide us. He'll give some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the church, for the strengthening of the church. And the church is not strengthened by some, imaginary building outline. Each individual, that's what's strengthening. That's what's growing. He will give discernment and peace, is really what he's saying. Sometimes our peace is broken because we don't get the discernment we need. We don't turn to Christ to see what Christ has to say about the situation. So here's what Jesus is saying. It's not that deep. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now we know that applies to salvation, those who are saved and in Christ Jesus. I want to finish off with a few applications. First of all, I don't think I have to emphasize this. I think you know it, but I think some of you here may not know it. Mankind is blinded by his corrupt, sinful nature. I'm talking to all of you young people here now. You would get to the point where you say, you know, I'm not so bad. You know, I got these rules, and I have to live this way, that way. But you balk against those rules because you are blinded by your own corruption. And you have to know that. That's what God says. God means it. So it's not something that you say you could think something differently and that's going to change the situation. It's not going to change the situation. All you're doing, you're drinking some brew you made and hoping you're going to be better. And you're going to find out you're worse. So that's the first application. Mankind is blinded by his corrupt nature and his sin. And secondly, I want you to turn to John chapter 3 with me. Jesus here is speaking of the kingdom of God and who he is as he comes. He's the one that brings a new birth and all have to come to him. And he states his position. He's with God and he's come from God. He's gone back to God. And he says in verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, some people think, well, I'm going to be judged later on. You know, I got time and so on. You know, I might die. So, but he says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. For those who will not have Christ, judgment day has already come for you. It's now. And notice what he says as he goes on. And tell you what the judgment is. Not the fact that the penalty, but what the judgment and how you're being judged and why you're being judged. Verse 19, this is the judgment that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Why do people keep away from Christ? Because of their sins. They love their sins. And you hear, little ones, middle-aged ones, and so on and so on. You love your sins. You have heard the truth. And some of you can spout back the truth that you have in the scriptures, but yet still you love your sins. And you think there's nothing wrong with it. See, that's the problem of a corrupt mind. They think nothing's wrong with it. And Jesus says, here is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness. One preacher said, you're all like little moles. You know, the little animal that run around. He comes out at night out of his little hole, his burrow, he runs around. When the light comes, he scoots back in his hole. The light of the truth, when Jesus Christ comes to you, you scoot back into your hole. And that is a more intellectual hole of yours. You thinking, and some of you right now maybe think, I'm not even going to listen to this. You just ran into your hole. I'm not going to let this bother me. You ran into your hole. That's what you're doing. See, that's you. This is what God says. And you probably, as I say this right now, you know, well, I don't want to hear that. I don't care what you say. But know what? I'm only saying what God says. If you got a problem, the problem is not with me. As a matter of fact, the problem is not with God. The problem is with you. Because you're running from the truth. And you didn't judge me because you won't face the truth. Until the day comes when you say, you know what? I hear what is being said. Lord, help me. Christ, you promise. If I come to the light. Right now I see. I'm in this judgment. And this verse goes on. Passage rather. For everyone who does evil hates the light. I don't know if you younger people ever thought about it, but I know we did. It's going on. You know, most of the sins and stuff are committed in darkness. Wait to the darkness of night and see somebody who they can't see you come up behind them to knock them in the head and steal their pocketbook. If it's in the daytime, they wait for a shadowy place where they can't be seen. And all the sins, most of the sins are done in darkness. And we can say in darkness, if it's not actual darkness, it's in a shroud where nobody knows what's going on. And that's when the sins are committed. You know, they say, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Stay out of the light. Do it yourself in the end. We did it. When I did that was wrong before I got saved, I did it out of the shot, eye shot, ear shot of everybody else. In other words, I was afraid to have the lights expose me, so I did it when nobody saw it. That was my darkness. That's your darkness, too. Though it may be the light of day, you go into your own little alcove of darkness, and you commit your sins. Some of it is done at a computer. Nobody else around to see. But that's your darkness. That's your wicked, evil spot where you go, and you do your horrible deeds. You won't come to the light because you think those deeds may be exposed. You know, some people, they hate to hear the gospel because if they come to the place where God brings them to where they have to confess their sins, they hate to confess. They can't even think of having to confess the things that they have done. So know what they say? It's better for me to stay in the darkness. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says, verse 21, but he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. You see, if you're doing right, you run to the light. You don't hide from him, you run to it. So you see, people, here is the only remedy for you and I who are Christians. God has done a great thing. He's brought us out of the darkness because of the light of Christ who has come and shone into us. We are those who are new in Christ Jesus because of what we have. And the light itself is not some kind of a poetic thing. It is actually what has taken place. We have the light of truth now working in us, molding us, causing us to be more and more like Christ Jesus. You who are not there, I hope you come to the point, I hope by the Holy Spirit he brought you to a point you says, oh, I'm in a miserable condition. Everything that has been said has exposed me to a degree, and I need to do something about it. But you need to know, understand that there is a remedy. There is a remedy. It is the light of Christ Jesus. He is the one. You see, in this text, he's not saying, I'm going to beat you down. He's saying, come to me. Right now, wherever you may be, whatever you're thinking, how hard you think of yourself, that the fact that you have done this wrong, that wrong, you know what? Christ says, so what? Come. There's forgiveness. The light is the purpose of the light, is to forgive. He gives light. He provides spiritual life that brings the sinner out of his dark place, his hole where he is hiding, and into the light. And then life through Christ Jesus. What are you going to do, sinner? You're going to enjoy as we enjoy Jesus Christ, the light? Or are you going to keep running and hiding in darkness? And think about it. You're only hiding from us. You're not hiding from him. Why don't you run to Christ? Why don't you say, it's given to us. The light is here, and he is the light of the world. And I see my sinful darkness. Let me turn from my sins and run to Christ. Run to him, plead him, say, Lord, I'm not even worthy of your salvation, but you said trust in you, and I'm going to come. Don't think you have to get this right or that right, the other thing. If you got the fact right that you are a sinner and you're under judgment and you don't want to be there, God said that's all you need to know. Take that and run to him and plead for mercy from Christ Jesus. Let us pray.